Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 27th, and today we are reading from the Big Book, page 156, the first paragraph. And today's readers are Betsy H., Lois P., and Shelley E. The reference number for Sunday's special edition was 18,301, and that was for December 26th. And then the reference number for Monday, this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 18,304. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty D. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Patty D., a compulsive overeater from Algoma, Wisconsin. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Patty, and I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Good morning, world. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume the study of the Big Book. We're in a vision for you. We're on page 156, and we're on the first paragraph only. And I will now ask Betsy H. to begin reading.
Thank you. Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader from California. One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. Oh, sorry about that. A little problem with my alarm. Yeah, so Dr. Bob is in the process of working the steps. He's doing it so quickly. You know, he just put down the alcohol and then he started working the steps just very quickly in a matter of days, I believe. And so he's driving around to make his 9-step amends. And I think something that really strikes me here is that he had thought that people didn't know about his drinking, that he was so successful at hiding it. And then when he actually went down and went around and talked to people to make amends, he got surprised that everyone knew about his drinking. It was so obvious to them. So just, I relate to that because sometimes being a compulsive reader, I would be more like isolating in the house, binging on food. I wouldn't be out at bars getting in fights or getting arrested. So I thought maybe people wouldn't really know that I had a problem. But I think it's actually a lot more obvious to people than I was aware of. You know, it really, being in an active addiction is a very negative and destructive place to be in. And I think it affects the people around me very negatively. And so they pick up on that. And on the other hand, the good part is, once we get into recovery, we become a force for positivity wherever we go, a force for good. And even though people don't say anything to us, at some level, I think that is helping them, just having us suiting up and showing up today, wherever we have to go for our work or our daily activities or studies, just suiting up and showing up, being a person in recovery, a friend among friends, a worker among workers, a recovering or recovered person among recovered and recovering people. Just doing that does a lot of good. It's like with this disease, I'm either like on a downward spiral of the addiction, which destroys everything in my life, or I'm on an upward spiral where I put the food down, I'm working the steps, and then more and more blessings can happen, more and more miracles happen, because a lot of miracles happen in the 12-step program. And so with that, I think I will pass.
Oh, thank you, Betsy, for getting us started. And before I take names for others to share, I'd like to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day on all Vision meetings in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold off until tomorrow or later in the week. Thank you so much. And now I'm ready to take names.
Terry W.
Wendy M.
Javelin E. Okay, I heard three so far. Terry W., Wendy M., and Javelin E. Anyone else want to add your name? Okay, we're going to start with Terry W. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. This is Terry W., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexia, bulimic from Massachusetts. And when she just read this paragraph, like horror came over me, because it brings me back to my ninth step and actually making amends. And I had such a hard time, because my ego was so, high up on the shelf. And I had to, really ask God for a lot of help. And it took me a while. And one day, God must have done this for me, because I just went and just made all these amends. Believe me, it was God pushing me, because I just couldn't have done it myself. But, I found that, they talk about the person may get fired, the person in his line of business. Well, I also thought, this is going to ruin my reputation, and this is going to ruin what people think about me. And you know what? It really doesn't make any difference what people think about me, And what's really interesting is he said a lot of them were well-received. And I was very surprised at some of my reactions when I made amends. Almost all of them were very well received. And, when I was, I went to a bank and asked to talk to the manager, and I sat in his office and I said, when I was 16, I used to bounce checks with you all the time. And I was angry at you and resentful because I had, charges that you charged me for bouncing them, when in fact it was my fault and I was the one being inconsiderate and self-centered, not realizing that you're incurring charges through the bank. And the guy said to me, he goes, if it wasn't COVID, I would just hug you. And he started to almost cry, how meaningful is that, But it's amazing to think, what God can do for us, what we can't do for ourselves. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. And Wendy M is up next. Star one, Wendy.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry about that. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, God, for all of us being on the line. What a miracle. So I heard earlier on the line that step nine, making me amends, is letting people see me for the first time, allowing people to see me, and also letting me see me. Right? Because I've had this persona. I've had living in secret, even though it's not a secret, right? Like I'm 180 pounds and I'm a mess. It's no secret to anybody, right? But I'm just saying, like, I've been managing how I want to be perceived. And this is the first time in my life that I let people see me, that I let people in. And they may like it and they may not, and that's not my business, right? Because I've been hiding from myself my whole life. And that's kept me in the bondage of self for sure. So, you know, step nine, I like the bull by the horns. Absolutely. Like, we're going to do it either whether we're afraid or not. We're doing this thing because this thing gives us direct freedom, you know. And I used to think like a good amends was like people were happy with me afterwards. They were nice to me. That's a good amends. And it turns out none of that is my business. My only business is to tell the truth. And when I am honest, when I can look somebody in the eye because my insides and my outsides finally match. And if they match, I'm honest. And if I'm honest, I get to God. And if I get to God, I get a spiritual experience, right? And I've had people throw me out of their office. I've had everything. You know, we all have. I've had people, you know, go, huh, maybe I should be doing my amends. That's interesting, you know. And again, and the other thing I always love about amends is that they're not about I'm sorry. And I spent my life telling you I was sorry and doing the same behavior over and over and over again. And all I wanted to do was push you away, please you, and get you to like me. I was in complete self. Amends are completely different. It's saying, I'm actually going to take different steps. I'm actually going to start calling you when you, you know, or call you back or send you those flowers or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But I think that the real deal here is that it brings us so much freedom and so much happiness and joy to do this. Finally, I can take my cloak off. Finally, I can let people in. And, you know, it was just me and the food. I wasn't going to let anybody in, much less myself. And so this depth of honesty, this degree of willingness is just, it affords us the ability to look people in the eye for the first time. And with that, I pass.
Oh, perfect timing. Hang on, let me stop that. Okay, perfect timing. Thanks, Wendy. Davelin E is up next, and then I'll be taking more names.
Hi, good morning. This is Davelin E from Manitoba, Canada. I'm very grateful to be on the line this morning. And this paragraph about Dr. Bob just put me in mind of the incredible humility he had as a doctor going around and confessing to people, whether they knew or not, that he was an alcoholic. And I'm just not in Dr. Bob's difficult situation. But after many, 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 many relapses and picking up food, I finally had the humility to look up at my giant ego, and recognize that I cannot transmit what I haven't got. And I have a new sponsor, and I'm beginning step one with that sponsor. And my humility is coming as I release my sponsees and admit to them, even though I've been very honest with them about my picking up food, admit to them that I cannot give them everything they need. And hopefully for me, this is the beginning of that total ego destruction. I was just taken immediately when I was making this decision. Am I really, really, really ready to be done? Making this decision that half measures over these 7 years in a way have availed me nothing. They really have. I have to go all the way. I have to take all that knowledge, all that wisdom, all that experience and set it aside because I haven't got it. And this is a really wonderful adventure for me, and I'm happy to be able to share it with you all. And thank you for the wonderful shares that have been and the great ones that I know are coming. Have a great day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Davelin. All right, I'm ready to take in more names. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 years, in the last 2 days, please give me your name, and I'll take a line up. Thank you. I'm ready.
Jean J, Kim O, Deborah G, Jean J.
I have Jean J, Kim O, Deborah G, and then there was another name that came in that I didn't hear.
Babylonia A.
Anyone else want to add your name now?
Rowena C.
Rowena K.
And then right before Rowena, who was that? Was that Stacey K?
Terry C.
Oh, very different. Okay, this is who I have. Jean J, Kim O, Deborah G, Babylonia A, Rowena K, Terry C. Was there anyone else I missed in that lineup?
Dana P.
Dana P. Okay, great. There we go. There's our lineup. Jean J, you're up.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the second line here in that paragraph where he, Dr. Bob found himself surprisingly well received. So I haven't quite had the education, family background, stature in the community that Dr. Bob had, and that's putting it mildly. And when I have made amends through my various iterations of the steps, I still can say that I felt surprisingly well received. It's true that many people have said, yes, you did that, and then they proceeded to take my inventory and tell me what else I did, and then asked me to disappear from their lives. But even then, they were decent enough to me, and it seemed like making these amends, or I had the experience that making these amends was not as terrifying as how it felt to me when I was hunkered down in the corner, afraid to come out. And of course, the catharsis, the relief at being, you know, stepping up and saying, this is who I am, this is what I did, I regret that, and fessing up to the world is just a wonderful thing. I'm just thinking about some really difficult ones. I mean, I've written back checks for back taxes, you name it. But there have been some particularly difficult ones. And I've buried them for years. And recently, they surfaced and I dealt with them, and it was just like fresh winds blowing through. Very grateful for that, and very grateful for this part of the spiritual work. It gets one's attention. Certainly has gotten my attention, made me tremble in my boots, because I have not been a very lovely person as a practicing addict. But by golly, the big book knows what it's talking about, and it sure has helped me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jean. And next up is Kim O.
Hi, this is Kim, recovered compulsive overeater. When I was looking at this at first, the first thing that stood out where it talked about taking the bull by the horns, setting out to tell those he feared what the trouble had been. Just the taking the bull by the horns, for me, that's a big, scary step when working the steps. It means that I am taking control of my part. I'm taking action. I'm not a victim. I'm being responsible, and I'm being vulnerable with who I am and where I've been. And when it says he found himself well received, I lived my whole life as a chameleon, like not showing who I was, just fear of showing who I was. And now, you know, that being well received part, I have a tribe thanks to working the steps and being in the program, and I have people that accept me for who I am, and I'm learning how to accept myself and love all of me as I continue to grow and change. That where he stepped in his car and was thinking through all the people that he had hurt, my head was a record player. I just continued to beat myself up over who I may have hurt or what I may have done, and to the point that I was my own worst critic. And so, you know, he talks about him trembling. You know, I picture my anxiety from all of this is just, it was out of control. I didn't know how to be comfortable in my own skin, look at who I was, things that I had done, and say, okay, how can I do differently and how do I make amends to move forward? It's a powerful paragraph, and I'm enjoying, it's helpful to hear everyone share on this too. I'll pass.
Okay, perfect timing. Thanks, Kim. Deborah G. is up next.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G., compulsive overeater from Arizona. And thank you, Sherry, for leading the meeting and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you. Thank you so much. And what was coming up was, you know, I wanted so badly to have neutrality with my food because I wasn't. I was suffering. And that willingness when I'm suffering to do anything. And I wanted to be in that alignment, you know, have that transformation, the deeper relationship with God, my higher power, and to feel that experience, to take it from my head, from my heart into my feet. And in order to do that, I needed to do this work. And I know when I did the fourth step, I looked at how my feet were moving when I was in those character challenges. And even other ways were how my feet was moving when I was in my food. And being willing to go out and make those wrongs right. And in that process, starting to experience the forgiveness for them and the forgiveness for myself. And in doing that, there was a freedom. Oh, it was an inside freedom that happened when I started doing those amends. And it was beautiful. And I wanted those promises. I wanted that neutrality. But most of all, I wanted to be in alignment with that experience of that loving presence. And that's what happens, what happened to me. And thank you all so much.
Thank you, Deborah. And Babylonia is up next. And please let
us
know, everyone, where you're calling from. Hi, Babylonia.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm calling from Southern California near Los Angeles. And today marks my 14th day of abstinence and 14 days that I've been in a vision for you. And I am so grateful. This is the longest I've gone with, like, I've been in OA for about 3.5 months now, but I relapsed every like 13 days. So this is the longest I've gone. And I'm so glad I changed from my other group to this group because this group, when I called fellows, told me I was restricting. And if I hadn't known, I didn't know I was restricting. I thought I was just eating healthy. And it has made a world of difference because I'm no longer as obsessed with food because I'm not starving all the time and working out on starvation. And I feel so happy. Like, yeah, I get restless, irritable, and discontent, but I'm able to meditate or call someone or exercise or do something. And it's not like I'm aware that what the thing is that's bothering me is restlessness, irritable, and discontent. And I'm not beating myself up for it. I'm saying, okay, that's just part of the process of recovery. Tomorrow will be different. You'll feel different because my emotions go all over the place. But today I woke up very joyful. I just got out of the gym and I just feel so like happy. And I know that my abstinence is going to last longer now. And I'm just really grateful for all you guys. And thank you for all the people that were there when I was calling them during my binge episode 14 days ago. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Babylonia. And we're so glad you're here. And before I take Rowena, I just want to let those that maybe joined us late know where we are today. We are reading from A Vision for You on page 156, the first paragraph. All right, Rowena, you're up next.
Hi, my name is Rowena, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for this meeting. And I just really wanted to connect and be part of it. And this paragraph, I love the imagery because one morning he took the bull by the horns, and it's quite a vivid, well, it's very kind of dramatic, you know, taking the bull by the horns, getting into his car and driving around and apologizing or making amends to people. It's a very powerful image. I guess previous I made an amends to somebody for eating their food, and they were, when you know, they were in fellowship as well, but when I made this amend, they were just kind of shrugged it off, and they weren't, you know, they weren't too bothered about it. But for me, going through that, you know, just looking at what I did, which was eat this person's food from the fridge, which was, you know, in the office. And it just, it's insane, you know, thinking about it. I actually ate someone else's food and then lied about it when they asked who it was. And that was 10 years ago. So maybe that's why the person wasn't too bothered about it, but still. So I'm on step 3 at the moment. And I guess in terms of people knowing that I'm an overeater, well, they don't really know because I've always been quite a normal body weight. And all they ever see me do is eating healthily. So, I think I'm going to leave it there. I've run out.
Oops, sorry, I was muted. Thank you so much, Rowena. And Terry C., you're up next.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Terry C. from the frozen Montana. This is awesome for me today. Being from Montana, I know a lot about bulls and horses, and if you want to control something, you control its head, either a horse or a bull. And taking a bull by the horns usually means that I'm going to face that bull. I'm going to face something down. And what I'm facing down here for me personally is my fear. Go out to tell those he feared. I'm afraid of people. I thought I was mad at people. I thought I hated people. But no, I am scared to death. So what is my trouble? My trouble is a life run on self. I'm out to get what I want, and I'll use anything to do that. So when I find myself surprisingly well received, it's only because people thought it was them. They thought they had done something. And when I admit my part, oh my gosh, all sorts of floodgates open for me. I realize that people actually do love me and vice versa. And by the way, I made amends to my two sons who were in their teens and 20s, and they both said to me in a different way, they said, "Mom, we knew Dad drank. What was wrong with you all those years?" And at that moment, this really came true for me. I was willing to humble myself before my sons and admit that I had a part in in their unhappiness. I'm emotionally unavailable. And I kept it simple. My sponsor directed me, and they were satisfied with my answer. Now, did that repair anything? No. But as I go about, just like Dr. Bob did, I am very nervous to continue this process. I am trembling today as I share. It's not like me to admit that I'm not perfect and that I don't know what I'm doing. But really, this is the way out, up and out. Now, someone else may have 90% of the blame, quote unquote. I have 10%. I'm responsible for my 10%. I will pick up again. I will use food like I have in the past unless I am diligent about this. So it's good news for the newcomer. I hope you stick around. This is fabulous work that we get to do. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry C. And Dana P., you're up next, and then I'll take a couple more names. Go ahead, Dana.
Good morning, Sherry. Dana P., I'm in California. And let me know if it's too much noise. I'm outside and it's raining. I'm so, so grateful for the rain here in California. I love the imagery I shared before, you know, that taking the bull by the horns. My cousin has bucking bulls. And you don't even want to get close to those things. I mean, serious, like from 100 yards away, they're beating the fence trying to get at you. And it's risky. You know, taking a bull by the horns is very risky. I'm not a very big person. I wouldn't even go near it. I'm just like, wow. And my inclination is to make friends with everyone. But those bucking bulls are dangerous, and that's risky behavior. You know, so we're talking about step 9 and making amends. And I was thinking about Dr. Bob and making amends, and he was a proctologist, so maybe he had the shakes and cut somebody, well, you know, that wouldn't be good, in the wrong place, down below. So, you know, making those amends, and things came out pretty well for him, which is quite amazing. And so what I started thinking about in terms of the risky behavior is that the behavior or taking risks, the risk that I took in my disease were far more damaging and far more dangerous than any amends that I'll be making and continue to make and have made already. And I have some pretty scary ones still coming up here. And who knows what's going to bubble up from the cesspool, you know, later on. But, you know, running at 3:00 in the morning and being struck from behind by a bicycle slammed me on the pavement. Being arrested for stealing. Compulsively eating and purging by vomiting. You know, I mean, what are the risks? I could rupture something and die. I could exsanguinate. So many risky behaviors, and not to mention hiding out, you know, the risk of losing people, which I absolutely did, becoming more and more isolated. So as far as I'm concerned, it's way more risky to continue on with my disease than it is to make amends. And just as it is forgiveness, forgiveness is not for the other person, it is for me. Amends are not for the other person, it is for me. And what do I mean by that? So that I can unblock myself from my relationship with a power greater than myself, and that is the God that lives inside me. So thanks for letting me share, and I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Dana. And I have time, I think, for two more names. So anyone else would like to share today? Please give me your name.
Donna W.
Deborah M.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Donna W. You're up.
Hi, this is Donna W. Calling in from California, walking in the rain too. And I'm grateful for my recovery and my abstinence today.
Whoops, Donna, we just lost you.
Okay, I'm back. Grateful to be here. Yeah, and the things that are coming up for me, like Dr. Bob, you know, grabbed the bull by the horns and, like, went out and, like, in one day went out and did all these amends. And, you know, it makes me think about, you know, the spiritual recovery is, like, you might have an awakening, you might have an experience. Well, I'm really grateful that I get to keep doing amends. Like, it's not like a one-day event that, you know, like, throughout my life, whenever something happens, I get to make amends and, you know, move on from it. And so I'm not piling up all of this stuff. And, you know, I'm just really grateful I know how to make amends and that I get to clear the wreckage of my past and of my present and deal with things head on every day. So that's all, and I will pass. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you, Donna. And Deborah, you're up next. Mila.
Thank you. This is Deborah M., recovering compulsive overeater from Baltimore, Maryland. For me, I wanted to look, I can't stop but looking at this one line. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. This is a very well-educated man, very practical and responsible. And yet here he is learning that others knew of his drinking. And this speaks to me of delusion, the delusion that's inherent in our disease. And for me, this is what delusion looks like. It's snatching cookies off of a plate while other people are making a puzzle or watching football and thinking that if I do it really quickly, no one will see or notice. It's going into the refrigerator and opening up aluminum foil in the evening when people are in other rooms and thinking that no one will notice that the food is missing. And it's just thinking that my reactions and my fighting, rather than responding in love and kindness, won't be noticed as part of my disease. That is such delusional thinking. And yet when I am in the program and I'm doing steps and nightly review, talking to others, and I'm called on to be more honest, I can put some of that aside. I can say, oh yeah, I guess it's kind of obvious that I'm not quite well, I'm not quite with it. There's a part in the book, in the back, in the stories, that says we start with the honesty that we have, and then that honesty grows. And that's what I'm latching on to today. In my disease, I am so totally delusional, as Dr. Bob, that smart man, was. But in recovery, there's honesty upon honesty, and that's all I have. I'll pass. Thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you so much, Deborah. And I'm sorry I was yelling out for my dog right before that. Sorry. We have time for another share, maybe possibly two. Is there anyone else that wants to share this morning? Maybe someone who hasn't shared before or. Yeah.
Hi, this is Imelda, a compulsive overeater.
Okay, I have, I think you said Imelda, if I wrote that down right, and then I heard Sherry KB. So Imelda,
yes.
If I pronounced your name right, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. I'm Imelda. I'm still a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and very grateful. I just wanted to claim my seat. I'm very grateful to get through this weekend, the holidays. Abstinent and waking up sober was the best present I gave myself. And to be mindful and present was the best present I could give others. And it's just a good feeling and really good shares I'm listening to. And thank you so much for listening. I'm open to outreach. My number is area code 626.
Oh, yeah, we don't give numbers during the meeting, but please stay at the very end, and we're going to be asking for newcomers, and you can give your number then. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Sherry KB is up next.
Good morning, Sherry. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service and Team Monday, and welcome newcomers and everyone on the line. As everybody was talking about the bull, that is a great visual. And I do see that it's, you know, it's willing to do something that normally in the past, before ever working the steps, I never thought about taking the bull by the horns. And that's literally going in and, you know, laying your sword down and just being honest about making amends. And what I also think of is what really struck me this morning listening to everybody was that, you know, I'm not doing this alone. You know, I have self-reliance failed me. And Sherry's will and the Sherry Show and being in the director's chair and all of that, all those years have failed me. What's interesting is when I've done the steps and I'm in the steps and I'm living the steps, I'm now on God power. God's giving me the power to take the bull by the horns. I could never do that on my self-will or the director, being the director or the Sherry Show. The reason why I can take the bull by the horns is because God's giving me the power to do it. I am going in there with God. I'm not going in there by myself. And that struck me really hard this morning because I've never tried taking the bull by the horns, nor would I. But if I have God going with me to do this, to make the amends, I'm never alone. I ask God to meet me in the room. Sometimes I'll say, God, please be in the room when I go in there to see, you know, to talk to this person and to make my amends and to speak through me when I talk to this person. And it's pretty powerful stuff. And to me, that power gets rid of those fears and the doubt and the insecurity and the restless, irritable, and discontent. When I align my will with my higher power's will, I can take the bull by the horns, but I can't if I'm in self-reliance or I think that I'm doing this by myself or I'm trying to do this on my own power, because I can't. So that's all I got. Thanks so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry. And we just have time. It's not even 2 minutes. I'm going to take a quick share. I don't normally do that, but I love this paragraph, and I hope that's okay with everybody, since there was a shortage of lineup. My name is Sherry, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and everyone's shares were amazing. And what I got from this was that that it's supposed to be scary, so that's normal. If I'm feeling scared to do it, that's part of the process. And then if I want to never compulsively overeat again, then this is what is the requirement to do it. And that'll be a promise for the rest of my life. I don't have to live on a hamster wheel, and I just do it. And my sponsor used to always reiterate to me, she said, Sherry, if you're already thinking about scary outcomes and you're worrying about what they're going to say or do or any of that, she said, all is lost. And I think it's somewhere in our big book, all is already lost. And I think it's part of the step 8, 9 instructions in the big book. Like, the whole purpose of this is to get out of self. So if I'm still controlling the outcome, right? So I'm in my thoughts and I'm still thinking, oh, it's going to go this way, then all is already lost. And so I can either continue blotting out the consciousness of my existence with food and with behaviors, by the way. So even putting down the food, my behavior became more atrocious as an addict without my anesthetizing of the food. So it's not just about eating and now I'm abstinent and I'm skipping down the tulips. No, it's about this daily getting rid of self. And every step is a leveling of my pride, and it's a surrender. But what is the alternative? Death on one hand, or living a life beyond my wildest dreams? And I've had all sorts of things. Just to wrap up, I've had people kick me out of there, you know, not want to have contact with me. I've had wonderful response, and I've had everything in between, and none of it matters, because the only thing that matters is doing what Dr. Bob and Bill and all of these 100 men and women who are recovered have done, and that is putting it all in God's hands, which is what was said before, and trusting that I, life run by Sherry, like Sherry KB just said, is a disaster, and life run by my higher power leads me to freedom from food and this horrible, horrific disease. Thank you so much for letting me put my hat in there and participate. And now we're going to be closing with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And so I'm going to ask Lois P. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Go ahead, Lois. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.